Appeals 063035, United States v. Nguyen. Nguyen. Thank you.
May it please the Court, Richard Goldwasser on behalf of Defendant Appellant Lin Nguyen. The defendant in this case, Your Honor, was convicted of two counts, two drug-related offenses, each under the theory of aiding and abetting. The defendant was convicted and sentenced to 80 months imprisonment. The first count of which he was convicted was aiding and abetting the importation of marijuana into the United States. The second count was aiding and abetting the possession of marijuana with the intent to distribute. The first issue I'd like to briefly address is the standard of review. In the government's brief, they reference essentially two standards of review, one an abuse of discretion and one a de novo review. In our brief, we argue strictly a de novo review. In this case, the sole issue here is whether or not the jury was properly instructed on the definition of aiding and abetting. I believe the abuse of discretion standard is more appropriately applied to cases where a district court is passing on the issue of whether or not there is sufficient evidence in the record to support giving an instruction. In this case, the sole issue before this court is whether or not the instruction as given properly, adequately, fairly summarized the state of the law as it relates to aiding and abetting.
But, you know, on that subject, whatever the standard of review may be, because with jury instructions we do, as you know, we look at the instructions as a whole. We try to ask in a practical sense, you know, does the jury in effect get the right message? The instruction that the court gave when I first read it certainly struck me as perhaps a more economical way to express the ideas that are in the pattern instruction, but not necessarily something in tension with those. There's the idea of knowingly associating. There's, instead of a long list of legalistic terms, you know, aid, conduce, you know, blah, 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 it's participated. You did something with the criminal activity, and you tried to make that criminal activity succeed. The language is quite similar to instructions that have been approved in various prior cases from this court. So I'm not sure why the jury essentially got the wrong message from this instruction.
Well, I think the instruction as it was given allows the jury to come back with a conviction really not related to an aiding and abetting conduct.
Why? It allows if you've knowingly associated, you've participated, and you're trying to make it succeed. You didn't inadvertently participate. You didn't give them a cell phone just because you happen to be in the cell phone business or something. You're knowingly doing these things to help the criminal activity
right.
succeed.
And the same could be said with regard to a principal, Your Honor. Principals knowingly associate. They participate, and they try to make an activity succeed. The issue in this case, or the defense in this case, and actually the charge in this case, all relates to aiding and abetting. And without the first sentence from the pattern instruction, which directly relates to knowingly aiding and abetting, the jury comes back, or there's the potential to have the jury confused and misled as to exactly what conduct the defendant is being charged with.
So what are you saying that the instruction that was given didn't accurately state the elements of aiding and abetting?
That's correct. And the elements of aiding and abetting are set out by the statute, and there's several forms. I believe there's six forms of conduct which come under the penumbra of aiding and abetting. And in the pattern instruction, there's brackets, and some of them are bracketed. And now the government comes back, and in their brief, they argue, well, you know, we weren't charging procuring or counseling or any of these others, which is well and good, but they were charging aiding. So whether or not...
The instruction that was given used that terminology.
Well, the instruction that was given says...
Well,
to find the defendant aided or abetted a crime as charged in count one or two, or count one or count two, you must find that the defendant knowingly associated with the criminal activity charged in that count, that he participated in the criminal activity, and that he tried to make the criminal activity succeed.
Right, so and while then elsewhere in the instructions, the judge makes it clear that the criminal activity at stake in counts one and two were this marijuana shipment, the importation, and the distribution. I just don't see where you think it's unclear what it is he was aiding and abetting or why they didn't have to find enough.
Well, the reason it hasn't been defined enough, Your Honor, is because the defense in this case, which was responding to the indictment, was that the defendant was taking these actions on his own behalf. So he was thereby entitled to an instruction which clearly informed the jury that taking steps or his conduct taken in his own behalf was not sufficient to support a conviction for aiding and abetting.
Well, I understand that, but I don't see if the jury believed that theory of defense, they couldn't find that he was participating in the criminal activity and he was trying to make that criminal activity succeed. If he's not that deeply involved with it, I'll say, trying not to just use tautologies here, but I just don't see how the jury could find these things in the instruction and at the same time have some sympathy for his defense.
Well, I think that's the problem in the case, Your Honor. If we were just to take Mr. Wen's testimony, I think the jury could easily find that these three, the participation,
the association, but
that would support a conviction as a principal. But Mr. Wen was charged with aiding and abetting.
Why does that make any difference, though? I mean, he tried to make the criminal activity succeed, and I guess that's not consistent with his testimony. His testimony, which, by the way, seems to sort of evolve over time, but I just don't see how, if he really said, I'm just doing a favor and somebody's going to give me $1,000 to deliver this particular cell phone, and yeah, I know it's a lot of money, but I wanted the money. I mean, none of that is consistent with the findings in this instruction the court.
Well, I believe that was a statement that he gave to an officer.
Right.
His testimony was that he went and met with Mr. Sinjat Singh. In Chicago or near Chicago for the purposes of buying marijuana and not for the purposes of handing him over cell phones. And then he went and later met him in Wisconsin to
purchase the marijuana. Yeah, so he's just a little two-bit marijuana dealer. He's not somebody who's actually trying to help with the importation from Canada and all the rest.
Correct. Well, if there's no further questions, I'll reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Is Mr. Pope on, sir? Okay, Ms. Rumbelo.
Good morning again, Your Honors. What's important in this case is that, and what Mr. Nguyen seems to overlook, is that the district courts can obviously tailor instructions to the case before them.
Did you not want the pattern instruction here?
What happened was there was a final pretrial conference in front of the magistrate judge, and this was the proposed jury instruction in that universe of jury instructions packet, and it's my understanding that there was absolutely no objection to it. So then we fast-forwarded, proceeded through trial, and then it wasn't until 5 minutes before the jury instruction conference that that the defendant first objected to it. So they seemingly agreed with it at the final pretrial in front of the magistrate judge. So it was rather an untimely objection. And the government agreed that the proposed instruction, as, again, having gone over it at the final pretrial conference, was viewed as a whole. It fairly and adequately informed the jury of the requirements for aiding and abetting. That first sentence of the model jury instruction, like Judge Wood said, I mean, it's a lot of legal words.
I must say that my view is that the first sentence of the pattern serves a purpose in the sense that it illustrates some of the ways in which a person can aid and abet a crime by commanding or inducing the perpetrator, for example.
Right, but that was incorporated in the instruction that Judge Crabb read to the jury.
Well, looking at Judge Crabb's remarks, she seems, I'll say, put out with the last-minute nature of this. I take it maybe if this had been raised before the magistrate judge, the government might have worked with the defendant and come up with some variant of the pattern instruction. There's something very last-minute about all of this.
That's a possibility, Your Honor, yes. Had they raised the objection in a timely manner, the government would have had an opportunity to review their proposal, and that was not what happened in this case.
And so you just decided to dig in instead and stick with the one that had been approved before.
I did not handle the case below, but I think that the reason that the government, using your term, Judge Wood, dug in is because there's nothing legally incorrect about the instruction that was given.
Yeah, but we have pattern instructions for a reason. Don't you think the parties and district court should use them unless there's some affirmative reason not to do so?
There was no objection at the final pretrial conference as to this proposed jury instruction. And in the Hubbard case, which the government relies on, they talk about the requirements for aiding and abetting liability, and that includes association with an unlawful venture, knowing participation in it, and active contribution toward its success. The jury instruction given in this case encompassed those requirements. Plus, it was followed up, Judge Crabb also said, she also instructed the jury, by themselves, the defendants present at the scene of a crime and knowledge that the crime is being committed are not sufficient to establish his guilt. The defendant performed acts that advanced a criminal activity but had no knowledge that a crime was being committed or was about to be committed. Those acts alone are not sufficient to establish the defendant's guilt. So that addressed the defendant's testimony. Mere presence at the scene of a crime is not enough to establish guilt. So again, because the district court can tailor instructions to the case before them, which she did, especially in light of an untimely objection to the jury instruction, and there's nothing to suggest that this jury instruction did not accurately summarize the law or that it was legally erroneous in this case. I ask that the court affirm the judgment and conviction of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am done for the day.
Yeah, take the rest of the day off, I say.
I'd like to address just two of those points. One is the Hubbard case. The Hubbard case clearly makes reference to other jury instructions that cover the portion to which the defendant objected had been omitted. So I don't see where the Hubbard case really controls our case. Second is to the timeliness of the objection. Jury instructions are submitted quite frequently prior to the jury going out and even after a jury conference is held before a magistrate judge. The issue here, I don't think, is so much the timeliness of the objection because the court, I think the district court has an obligation to the defendant and to the jury to ensure that the jury is receiving an adequate charge. And in this case, for whatever reason, the judge decided it did not include the first sentence of the pattern jury instruction, in which I think prevented the jury from receiving a proper charge. And what we're talking about, to put together a jury instruction, a pattern jury instruction, we're not talking about a delay of really, more than 10 or 15 minutes. It's a pattern instruction. They're quickly prepared. And so I, quite frankly, don't see that the timeliness really is a controlling issue. And with that, I'd ask that the court reverse the defendant's conviction and remand the case for a new trial. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement. We're going